Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 85. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we're here again to discuss stuff.
The random things that we have learned about, done, and experienced over the week.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'll go ahead and start with the biggest thing that I've been doing most of the week. And it's actually, I'll talk about two things here since they're somewhat related. OnLive recently opened up their service to our friends over in the UK. So as a result, they did a coupon code that only lasted for a few hours where you got 75% off one of their games. As a result, I bought Warhammer 40K Space Marine. A third-person shooter without a cover mechanic, so it's kind of, you know, a bit more old-school the way it's done. With a big emphasis, thank you, on close combat, because, well, it is 40K. Warhammer 40K, if you've ever played it, you know eventually your units will get into close combat, whether you want them to or not.
Chainsaw sword!
It's just chainsword.
Chainsword? Chainsaw.
No, it's just chainsword.
Mm-hmm. I keep swapping a chainsword for the power axe.
I mean, it literally is a chainsaw sword, yes, but...
They just call it a chainsword.
Yeah.
Is chainsaw copyrighted?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
It's just a chainsword. It makes it simpler. Okay. Then it's just two syllables instead of...
Chainsaw.
Three.
Anywho!
Okay.
So, I've been playing the game, and sometimes I do feel a cover mechanic would be nice, but... And this was a quote from somebody at THQ when we were at E3... is Space Marines don't need a cover mechanic. They're not that much of a pussy.
They are in armor, too.
Well, they're supposed to be one of the ultimate warriors of the 40,000th millennia. Last hope of humanity and all that good shit. Hey, that was the exact quote from the guy at the E3.
We want you to just go for it, apparently.
Yeah. Well, the only way it's like... you do have shields that regenerate, but there's only one way to there's actually two ways to regenerate health, but the primary way is you execute an orc. It's like you stun him, and then you basically use an execution move in order to take him out. It's very much like if you ever played, that old, GameCube game that made you go slowly insane. And
Eternal Darkness?
Eternal Darkness. You had to execute the enemies in order to regain sanity. Very much like that. Only it's health now. But it definitely makes you so there's reasons for them to be throwing large amounts of lower-level enemies at you later in the game. Like the, I forget what the little guys are, but they basically go out in one hit.
Grunts?
Yeah. They're basically one-hit health machines. Help, help, help! And then they'll throw something big at you that requires actual thought. But so far it's real entertaining. I'm on a Forge world fighting orcs. And I had to save a Titan, and now I'm working with an Inquisitor in order to do something. I'm not going to say more because I don't want to spoil it. But it's very, if you've played 40K, you'll get into this real easy because it very well follows the 40K world. They all talk like you expect them to. Like when you find some Imperial Guards, they constantly, first they're awed at the fact that a Space Marine even bothered to show up to help them. And they constantly refer to him as my lord.
I don't know.
I
wanted to get into the, you know, tabletop, but then there was the whole upfront investment of buying models and painting models and building an army, and I'm just like,
Oh, and then wasn't there the whole, I don't like the aesthetics of any of these armies particularly well?
Yeah, there was that problem too, like,
I was always,
which one's the least ugly?
I was always a Necron player.
It's not Tyranids.
I always played the Necrons, and it always got me wondering, the great machine god that the entire human race worships, I always wonder if that's just a Cetan god that just is kind of asleep on Mars.
Mm.
I just think that'd be entertaining. Anywho, so fun game, I'm enjoying it so far, and I'll eventually actually get a review out for it. Or at least that's my current plan. Moving on, Star Wars, The Old Republic. Release date was announced yesterday.
Yay.
Provided we're recording this on Sunday for those that may listen to it at a later date and time.
Is it December 20th?
December 20th, just in time for my birthday.
Right before Christmas. I don't think you're going to get that many sales, but...
Oh, they will.
Just in time for all those damn kids.
Winter
breaks.
Like, all those kids are going to hit winter break, and all of a sudden, hey, a new Star Wars MMO that they've been announcing for the past 2 years plus... is available now. Rush.
I'm going to be Han Solo. I'm going to spell two N's because just regular one was taken already.
I'm going to have to spell it with 30 N's because Han Solo was taken. Or actually, it's going to be Han Solo was
taken. It'll be like, you know, S0LO or L0 or something.
Umlauts.
Yeah, umlauts. Oh.
I always hate it when people add that in their name in groups and you're like trying to whisper them or something. So I'm like, how? What cheese is it again? They get the freaking little umlauts.
That's what right clicking on their name in the chat window is for.
Yes.
Few people may not know this, but that function originally was not in World of Warcraft. They've made a lot of changes to that damned game to make it a lot easier. Let's see. Zelda!
Yes. Skyward Sword. I keep checking Zelda Dungeon is my preferred Zelda news site. But Game Informer recently has been having a ton of stuff on their site. Their October issue is practically nothing but Skyward Sword.
Really nice cover art on that one, too.
Yeah. And they've been releasing a lot of videos, but I haven't been watching it because I'm like, I don't want to see any spoilers. But they have, like, one of the bosses, which is a fire-based boss, and you can watch the video about Link fighting him, and I'm like, I want to be surprised. I don't want to see this. I know little bits and pieces about it, but it makes it, to me, more exciting the less I know sometimes about a game. Like, you can tell me some of the features and some of the things that happens, but don't show me big pieces of it or important pieces, because that's just going to make me sad and loses all the mystery. I think sometimes games don't leave enough mystery anymore. They say, this is what it is, and that's it.
It does press to make it harder to actually be surprised in some gameplay aspects.
Yes.
I know, I do think it's kind of interesting. Have you seen any of the upgrade stuff?
Yes, I did watch the upgrade thing, just because I thought, well, this is different. It's kind of like the trading game, but with more purpose.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I get this and this, give it to this guy, he makes it better.
And then you can keep getting other things to make things better. And there's like, there's not an infinite amount of things to get either to upgrade stuff, which mm-hmm. is good. I guess it's kind of incorporating a little bit from like Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks, because you actually collect things just that you randomly get from certain things to trade in to get different train or boat parts.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Link gets to upgrade his equipment more than just getting aesthetic, yeah, aesthetically pleasing-looking train sets. Like the solid gold one! Yeah, he gets solid gold train spirit tracks.
Can it move?
That seems kind of pointless, because wouldn't it just crumple under its own weight? Because the gold, isn't it, like, too malleable?
It's fantasy gold! Fantasy gold and silver works in a totally different way than it does here. That's
it's nearly indestructible and does more damage.
Yes.
It's secretly just gold-plated.
Like, okay, they gave us enough gold to make this out of it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Here's your original sword. No, here's a brand new sword, completely made out of gold. Yes.
Yeah. But it looks fun. I'm getting more excited. I haven't been this excited for Zelda since probably Ocarina of Time. Which, I went and dug out my collector's edition copy that has the first two original Zeldas, plus Ocarina and Majora's Mask. I'm like, okay, let's play Ocarina of Time. I haven't played it since it originally came out. So this is, what, like 12 years ago?
Yeah, whereas I picked it up like 4 years ago and played through it again. I was like, yeah. Oh yeah,
I played
not
it,
aged that well.
It still. Has not aged terribly well. I cannot believe how poorly Ocarina of Time has aged in terms of aesthetic appeal.
Yeah, why do you think it took them so long to update it for the 3DS launch?
I can see now after, like, okay, the 3DS, I didn't think it changed that much, but after replaying through and looking again, I'm like, okay, they changed a lot.
It looks a lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks a lot better, and I guess it should, you know, it's like the gameplay and the story should carry it more, but I'm like, yeah, but, you know, having a little bit something nicer to look at, especially on my HDTV, kind of helps. So eventually, I might get a 3DS and it for it, but until then, I'll just keep playing along and play A Link to the Past again. Because I finally broke down and bought it on
the Virtual Console?
Yes. I like having it like in everything else, but not that. And I'm like, I have my Super Nintendo and. So yeah, I've been playing it.
Oh, we dug out that Atari that you bought at a garage sale.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Oh, yes, we got an interesting story for the Atari. But
does it work?
Yes, it does
mostly.
Work. Well, it works. The game, there's a couple games that don't work. Yeah. But it mostly works. But no. Yeah, I got Link to the Past again. And it has aged, you know, surprisingly well still for it being an older title. And
sprites are taken on a totally different level of what's aged well versus 3D animations, I think.
Yeah.
Because 3D animations have improved, where sprites just kind of stopped at the SNES and Genesis era. So we expect sprites to look how they do. We expect a 3D modeled character to have significantly improved how it looks.
Yes. But it's still fun. I still love playing it. It's still my favorite. Still my favorite. Yes, I'm excited about Zelda. Got less than 2 months now. Hooray! If you haven't pre-ordered yet, pre-order! I've heard that it has now moved into the 7th spot for most pre-ordered game. The only Wii game as well on the list.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah, and it sold an additional 52,000 copies this past week. Nice. Keep going at that rate, it might, you know, start getting into, you know, the top 5.
It is Zelda. So moving on, so you guys were watching School Rumble this weekend or so, I hear.
Yes.
Yes. Mostly because there was the one AMV this past year at NDK that had School Rumble, and I think that's the one I actually voted for in the drama category, because it entertained me. It didn't make me feel sad and depressed, and sometimes I don't want to mark the one that makes me feel sad and depressed like that Clannad one. It was done well, but it made me depressed.
Yes, it did a good job of making you feel depressed.
But, so we're like, okay, what is this all about? And Netflix's thing keeps recommending it to me in my top 10 picks, so I'm like, okay, we'll watch an episode, see how it is. I find it highly enjoyable. It is like high school romance with the most unlikeliest pair. Because the guy likes the girl, but the girl likes another guy. And the guy that she likes
is oblivious to everything in, like, yeah, the world.
Yeah, and has, like, is, like, to me, devoid of all personality. So I don't understand why she likes him. But she's clumsy and kind of ditzy. And the guy that likes her is basically a Japanese thug.
With a heart of gold.
Yes, who's fallen in love with her. Aww. But there's just some, like, non-sequitur moments in there, and just, you have to watch the whole thing, too. You can't just skip the opening or the ending credits. There's actually stuff at the end after the song, the closing credits, and it's always different.
Cool.
So I actually don't mind watching through the opening and ending sequences. Most of the time, I just skip those anymore. You watch it once to see what it is, and you're like, okay, and then you go on.
I know. Spice and Wolf, I like watching the opening credits, because I really like the music.
What are your thoughts?
On what?
School Rumble.
It's good. No, it's really funny.
Or Quinny. Azumanga Daioh with boys and romance.
Well, it's almost like if you took Azumanga Daioh and, like, all the romance overtones from, like, Midsummer Night's Dream, where it's, like, everyone chasing someone else, basically, that they love, but no one, you know, reciprocating, basically.
Yeah, it's highly entertaining. Especially, like, their Star Wars ripoff and
one that of the... made me laugh.
Guys watching TV, and it's the Comet Wars, and you're like, that ship looks an awful lot like a Star Destroyer's back end.
Except that it has, like, little wings sticking
out. Yeah, and then you hear, like, Darth Vader's, like, and then there's, like, you and I are sister and brother, and she's like, and then she's like, as the Han Solo characters are like, I love you, see, he's just my brother, we can be in love now. It made me laugh.
Sounds entertaining. Let's see. And then you also finished off Birdie the Mighty Decode?
Yes. I finished the second season, or the second half of the first season. I still don't understand why anime has all of a sudden decided to go to 13 episode seasons. It just is weird. But don't basically, know. It kind of falls along still with, in the first half, the first 13 episodes deals with Ryuga, which is this...
Ryumka.
It's this terrible weapon that's capable of destroying, like, entire planets. And it's being created on Earth. And it's kind of like a living entity thing. And well, Birdie and... what's his name? I cannot remember the guy's name. Brain freeze. Anyways, they stop it. So the second part is dealing with the aliens that had originally wanted the Ryumka to come into being. And so... it's tracking them down and having other stories kind of...
Senkawa,
thank you. Tutsumo Senkawa. Yay! Thank you, Wikipedia! Yeah, but... it's dealing with their capture and Birdie trying to find them, and there's somebody else, though, that's taking them out systematically and trying to find out why they're being killed. And Birdie also working out her feelings for one of her long-lost childhood friends who's actually living on Earth.
There's always got to be a long-lost childhood friend in an anime somewhere, doesn't there?
Yeah, and this is one that she's in love with, and it has time travel. And my theory was right! Yay! That made me happy.
I won't ask because I'm pretty sure it's a spoiler.
Yes, it's a big spoiler. So okay, so I won't ask.
Let's see, and then I've been watching Spice and Wolf with my wife. It's the series that you probably don't really expect to like based off of what it's actual, what the majority of its content is, but it's actually really entertaining to watch basically a show about merchant, about how to be a merchant.
Yeah, it's like the Swords and Sorcery era, but
without magic.
Or sword. Well, there's swords.
Well, there's a little magic.
There is a little bit of magic, but it's not like, you know, watching Slayers or something in that vein, or Record of Lotus War.
It's not in-your-face magic. The main magic you have is the little girl that turns into giant wolf, which you really don't want to mess with her when you get her to that point.
No. But she's not really a little girl. She is a...
giant wolf.
Yeah, she is a wolf entity spirit thing. That was a terrible description.
Basically, she is a... I guess you would consider her a god.
Yeah. She's a wolf spirit, at least.
When the series starts, basically, she helps this one place grow their wheat well and always have prosperous harvests. But they considered her very fickle because there'd be some years where she wouldn't let it grow well, but that was so the land could rejuvenate. Well, they thought she was just being mean to them at that time. So they finally learned how she finally they, the city the town had come to the point where they can make the wheat without her help. So now she managed to escape and is now on her way north with a merchant named Lawrence. And they do have issues sometimes with having to keep her identity a secret, which doesn't always work real well at times.
Well, it's kind of hard to disguise a woman who has wolf ears and tail, and she can't really get rid of them. So
well, it doesn't help when. One of the characters eventually turns on them and lets the church in on the issue. But they're basically trying to keep the church of the whatever city they're in from knowing that she's, you know, a wolf spirit because they would view her as heathen and want to, you know, capture her and kill her. While at the same time, trying to make the maximum profit they can from what they have at hand.
Yes.
So a lot of the show is actually spent them talking about, you know,
how do you make this deal work and have the most benefit from it?
Yeah, so it doesn't sound entertaining, but it is.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think the characters are really strong, and the fact that it's something different in the fantasy setting makes it very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels a lot older. I know this is kind of a weird thing, but I keep finding, like, I'm trying to find animes that aren't necessarily geared strictly for, you know,
Teens.
Yeah,
it's an older... It has that older feel, but it's a new anime, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I mean, like, it's more mature to me. It's the audience it's aiming for is not in the teenage demographic. It maybe is, like, the early 20s demographic or something,
mm-hmm.
which I feel... It feels better. Speaking of which, I actually did find... I did watch another... I forgot. I did watch an entire anime series on Monday.
Bored, were we?
No, I got addicted. It was, again, based on another AMV, The Princess Jellyfish. It was the one with the...
that one. The one with the weird...
Gomez song.
The Gomez song, where it was, like, the girl who was, like, the jellyfish artist, and the other girl that was always comforting her and such, saying that, you are beautiful, sort of thing. Yeah, I watched it all. It's only 11 episodes, so...
Oh, that's not bad. That was only, what, 5.5 hours of your day?
I was doing laundry at the same time.
It's only like 2.5 hours.
11 episodes? 3 hours.
11 episodes, about 20-some, 25 minutes each.
Yeah. That'd be like, at most well, 4 hours.
Well, I'm basically taking 10, divide that, round it into 30 minutes.
10 times 24 is, well, you can't round it to 30 minutes. They're not 30 minutes.
But that's why I'm rounding.
You're way overestimating.
Anywho, the point, okay, well, fine, anyway, it was 4, it was 2.5 hours a day, whatever. Okay.
It was 4 to 5 hours of watching. Yes, I should have done something else other than laundry and poking around while it was loading on Hulu, but it was really good. I really loved it. I wish it went on a little bit more, and it broke one of the, you know, it followed the first law of anime. which you think is a girl is a guy, and when you think is a guy is a girl. Because the main character is a lady she's 18 years old, she's moved to Tokyo to become an illustrator. And her whole passion is jellyfish because it reminds her of her mother who passed away when she was younger. So she draws exclusively jellyfish, she's very good at it, and she is a jellyfish otaku. She knows everything about jellyfish.
And what was the name of this again?
Princess Jellyfish. The thing is she lives in this place where it's nothing but female tenants, and they are all otaku with different things. The owner's daughter collects dolls and makes traditional Japanese clothing for her dolls and for other people.
Okay.
There is another character, one of the other tenants is this tall, skinny lady who, her thing is Three Kingdoms era, which is, I think, based in Japan, and the characters dealing with it. If you ever played the Dynasty Warrior games, those have a lot of the characters from the Three Kingdoms era in it, so she collects everything dealing with that and equates everything to life in those terms.
Okay.
Another one of the tenants, she is obsessed with trains.
Okay.
She takes pictures, she collects models, she knows the sound of trains and what sort of thing they are by their sounds. And the last tenant, she is obsessed with older men.
Okay.
She collects pictures and has a whole book of older men, and she likes the way men age, and she purposely goes out to look for older men. But they also are very antisocial.
Okay.
Yeah, but basically the main character, Tsukimi, she ends up meeting this girl who helps her save the jellyfish she likes that was at an aquarium. And she finds out that it's actually a guy in drag.
Okay.
He's a politician's son, and he purposely cross-dresses. That way he doesn't get embroiled in his father and brother's politics. Because they will see him as being weird and outsider and not include him in stuff and try to hide him away. So he doesn't have any responsibility being the rich political boy. So it's kind of like his relationship with the girls there, because he has to dress up as a girl because boys aren't allowed. But also trying to help the main character kind of come out of her shell and do other things and not be so frightened of the world. I don't know. I really liked it.
Cool.
I kind of babbled on for a while about it now. So I'll stop. So I suggest checking it out. It hasn't been released yet on DVD, but Funimation has picked up the rights to it already, and I think they're in the process of dubbing, but I haven't seen any official release date. But you can watch all 11 subtitled episodes through Funimation's streaming, or you can probably find it too if you go to Hulu. Either way.
Cool. Alright, so you guys got anything else you want to add?
Want to talk about that Atari game?
Oh, yes! Okay, so, yeah, thanks to you bringing over that little
Adapter thingy,
just the box one. We got the Atari that I bought for $5 at a garage sale to work. The system itself is fine. The joysticks, and especially paddles. The paddles, they've seen some better days. The person who had it was pretty rough with it, and the moving and jerking of the joysticks and everything. So they're a little bit loose and don't respond very well. But we were picking random things, and one of them was called Journey. And we're like, okay.
It just shows like a spaceship crashing through a planet or something.
Like through a marble or something. I mean, they don't even have any features on the planet, so it looks like a marble or sphere. So we plug it in, and the first thing that comes out, it sounds like Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And we're like,
that's weird.
This is weird. And we don't know what the purpose of the game is. There's like all these
Running, and there's things
floating down, and like there's hearts with legs, and like these flashing lights, and these guys whose eyes shift back and forth, and it's just the heads, and you're like, what is this, and what's the purpose? There's a timer, but I don't know what I'm doing, and there's like, so I look through, and thankfully there was an instruction booklet. It's like Journey's Escape or something, and it's literally based on the band group Journey. That's why Don't Stop Believing is playing, and it's like 4-bit, you know, sound. What it is you play as, you have the band members, and you play as the band member, and you have to get them through the Love Craze groupies, the shifty, like, promoters, and the paparazzi to your, escape. It's a ship. It looks like a spaceship. It looks like a scarab beetle that you have to get to, and you have to run past them, and if you hit them, you lose money. Because you finish the concert, and you gotta get, like, all 4 band members through.
Okay.
It's like the craziest game ever, because out of context, you're like, what is this?
So I'm going to assume the hearts with legs were the love-crazed groupies.
Yes, and the guys with the shifty eyes are the shifty promoters, and then the flashing lights are the paparazzis. They're the flash bulbs of their cameras. Those guys will take money from you. Then there's like your roadies who will make you invulnerable for a little bit so you can run through things. And then there's your manager who will also make you invulnerable for a little bit and give you money, additional money. Because what you gotta do is you have to have, if you lose all your money, you lose. If you don't get to your ship in time, you lose.
Because you gotta get in, you gotta leave in time
and
for the next show.
And you have to get all four of the band members through. And they have no difference in appearance. The only thing that changes up in the corner is it gives the initials of each band member. So if you're starting the first guy, it's like SJ or something, and then it goes like RR, and yeah, so it switches through all the band, and that's the only difference that you know you're moving another band member through.
Interesting.
But it was the one that gave us the most giggles, because it's a game based off of a band on the Atari system.
That's kind of entertaining, actually.
Especially considering that it was the Journey song that everybody was singing to at the AMV, you know, contest at NDK that won the judges' pick.
That was still entertaining.
And everyone waving lighters and cell phones and lightsabers. But it was weird.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting game.
Well, also it was just funny because of us trying to figure it out. We're like, okay, maybe we're supposed to run over these things? And I was kind of making like blah, 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 blah kind of noises. I think that's not good.
Yeah. It's like that's the thing about old games. Sometimes you're like, what the heck am I doing? And the instruction booklet sometimes doesn't help, and it's like...
Early game design was an interesting creature.
Well, you can only do so much. It's like people talking about the original Zelda. It's like, it puts you in there, and it doesn't tell you what you do. You can, if you don't have the instruction booklet, you just, it's like, explore. So you're like, okay, I'm going to this cave first. And it just says, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. And you're like, okay, I have a sword now!
Alright!
And then you go out, and there's monsters, and you're like, where do I go? What do I do? I mean, that, I guess that's probably...
I think the instruction book gave you, like, directions to the first dungeon or something, didn't it?
It gave directions to the first dungeon and showed you kind of where the second dungeon was based on the screens, but it doesn't tell you the exact route to get there. I'm weird. I still have all my books, so...
So that...
I still have all my original NES boxes. And after playing the Atari games, it has made me switch my birthday party for this year. We're going for retro gaming.
Okay.
I'm going to borrow my parents' Atari because their controllers work a lot better. And
do you
have
want
more
me to
like
bring
a...
mine? I have my Atari down in the crawlspace and the controllers still work because it's actually my mom's Atari.
Yeah, I was asked by mom, like, can I borrow your Atari? Because they have like almost 100 games, so.
Nice. Okay, you have more games than I do by a long shot. We couldn't find most of ours.
I found the box down in my parents' basement. It has everything in it. And they have both Ataris. They have the old school, like, faux wood one, and mm-hmm. the newer one that came out a few years later.
Nice.
Harry Potter birthdays for next year.
Give you an entire year to sew the scarves?
You mean knit.
Knit the scarves, sorry.
Knitting scarves. Yes. I figure a whole year to learn how to knit is better than a month now that I'm starting the work to learn how to knit.
Yes.
And I think we will stop rambling on.
Okay.
But this is the anime-filled podcast.
Yep, and you may notice that we didn't talk about Gears of War 3 at all during this podcast. That's because Irish Pride is supposed to be playing it and doing the review. If he doesn't get it done, I'll probably jack the game from him or rent it to do it, play it myself. But yeah, that's why we didn't really focus on it much this podcast.
I'm not in the demographic, and it's not something that appeals to me.
Well, apparently it's got great level design regardless, so... Anywho, so, well, I would have talked about it had I played it, because I am the target demographic. Anywho, so, you'll either hear about it next week in theory, or I'll just have to either borrow it or rent it and then record it, and then play it. So, in the meantime, our contest. I don't remember seeing any of you jackasses enter it.
Don't
alienate the listeners!
So,
no, listen to them, folks. You're all wonderful people. We love you. But you need to comment.
It's very hard to give you the guys free stuff, so we're going to change it. Instead of having to send us an email and do anything that takes that sort of effort, we're going to have you do something that takes slightly less effort because you don't even have to register with our site to comment. Just comment on this podcast's posts. Just place a comment. We'll pick one at random, and that person will get the anime, the first volume of Please Twins.
And make it a constructive comment. Don't just say...
First,
or, you guys are great. It's like, oh, thanks, but please tell us why. Yeah, Arctique.
Or if you say, you suck, tell us why we suck, and we will try to fix it.
Only improve.
So, in the meantime, go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com. Feel free to post on any other of our articles. You don't have to post on just this podcast. You can also check out our store to check out the great t-shirts using the artwork by the wonderful Zelda Queen. And, yeah. Send us mail to mail@thegameslave.com. And have a great week. Game on!
Game on!
Game on!